I'd like to take you back this morning to the year 2001, to the second month of the year 2001, to February, and to its last day, to the 28th of February 2001. You probably won't remember it. I'm told it was a cold, dark morning. And on that morning, the 28th of February 2001, a construction company boss left his Lincolnshire home at about 4:30 or maybe 4:40 on that morning, 4:30 in the morning. At 12 minutes past 6, he was on his mobile speaking to the emergency services, because the Land Rover and trailer which he had been driving had by that time plunged off the M62. They plunged down an embankment onto a railway cutting on the East Coast main line, just a few miles from the village of Great Heck in North Yorkshire. His Land Rover and trailer fell onto a line at 6:12, were hit by a GNER express train travelling south at 117 miles per hour. That train then, within a few moments, hit a train going the other way, which was fully laden with 1,600 tons of coal on it. And 10 people tragically died, and 70 were injured. Now, though he denied it, prosecutors argue that the driver of the Land Rover had fallen asleep at the wheel. He claimed that he'd had 45 to 60 minutes sleep, but his phone had been in use from 12 minutes to 10 to 2 minutes to 4 non-stop as he spoke in an excited manner with a woman that he'd recently met on the internet. And as a result of that tragic accident, the driver was found guilty of causing death by dangerous driving and was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment. Now, at the heart of that tragedy appears to lie a case where a driver simply lost his alertness through falling asleep at the wheel. 10 people lost their lives and 70 were injured. The driver didn't set out with the intention of falling asleep. He didn't set out with the intention of causing death by dangerous driving. But that's what's happened, and it could have been avoided. He failed to keep alert. He fell asleep and 10 lost their lives. And we have to say, there but for the grace of God go I, if we're a driver here this morning. But falling asleep at the wheel still goes on. 20% of road accidents on what's known as boring or monotonous roads are caused by drivers falling asleep. Over 300 people a year lose their lives because people fall asleep at the wheel. And we've begun with that this morning because of its relevance to what we're looking at here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, where Paul is instructing the believers about prayer, and what he's particularly emphasising in the words that we're going to look at this morning is the need to be watchful or alert. What he's saying here is that you've got to be alert to pray in the way which you have to pray. And when he says here about being watchful, the word literally means to chase sleep away. Sleep is coming towards you and you need to chase it away that you would be alert and watchful. I'd rather picture one of those summer picnics that we have when all the wasps come down and we give up the picnic to chase all the wasps away. We're being told here to chase sleep away. We have a responsibility as believers to drive sleep away in order that we can pray. And that's to be our focus here this morning. We need to chase sleep away, be watchful, that we can pray. Now let me just remind you what Paul is saying here. He's come at the end of this letter to speak about the theme of prayer. We're only going to look at one aspect of prayer this morning. Prayer is a huge subject, of course, from Genesis through to Revelation. We can look at the examples of people who prayed. We can look at what the Bible teaches about prayer. All we're looking at this morning is something of what Paul says in this one verse about prayer. He sets what he says about prayer here in one particular context. He's just been talking about spiritual warfare, on how the Christian has a battle against principalities and powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it's in that context, about us having to put on 6 separate pieces of armour, that he then comes on to speak about prayer. And hopefully you remember that we've been told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've been told to take up the shield of faith. We've been instructed to put on 6 pieces of spiritual armour, which are the whole armour of God. Now, Paul, in then coming on to speak about prayer, is not adding a 7th. He doesn't say, and prayer is like a javelin, or prayer is like a sling. He's not adding a 7th piece of armour here. He's saying that that which needs to accompany the putting on of all 6 is prayer. There's your 6, but you are to put those on with prayer. So that's the context. It's part of our spiritual armour. It's not an add-on in terms of it being a 7th weapon. It's to accompany number 1 and number 2 and number 3 and number 4 and number 5. And we're told to put on the whole armour of God with accompanying prayer. And of course we're told to do that for 2 reasons. One is that we'd stand. That's his great concern for Christians. Against the flood of which we've heard this morning, very easy for us to fall over and not to stand. His great concern is that the people in Ephesus, the believers, will stand. And one way of standing is you put on the whole armour of God with prayer. That's how you stand. And that, of course, then, secondly, is part of being made strong. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How are we to be strong or made strong in the Lord? By putting on the 6 pieces with prayer. So we need to be a praying people, and a people who are putting on the armour of God, that we'd stand, that we'd be strong in the Lord. And so clearly prayerlessness leads to us falling and leads to weakness. We won't be strong in the Lord. We won't be so enabled to stand if we are prayerless. So we've begun with the story of a man who fell asleep, because what we're looking at this morning is about us being alert to pray. That's what Paul says here in chapter 6 and verse 18. In the context of spiritual warfare, we need to pray as we put on the armour to stand and to be strong. We then briefly mention that we're taught 6 things here in this verse. We're not going to look at them all this morning. We're taught about praying in the Spirit. They were taught to pray for the Apostle Paul. And then, as we saw last time, there were 4 alls that are mentioned here in prayer. 4 dimensions to praying. One is that we're to pray at every opportunity, on all occasions. That was the first all. Secondly, we were to pray, as we saw last time, all kinds of prayer. So it's at all times, every opportunity, all times of prayer. And then we 2 more alls, which we didn't get the chance to look at last time. One was being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That's going to be our concern this morning. Being alert to this end with all perseverance. We're to keep on praying. And we need to stay alert, to stay awake, to be committed to this kind of prayer. If we're going to pray with all perseverance, we need to be awake and alert. And then we come to the last all, which is praying for all the saints. So those were the 6 alls. Every opportunity, every type of prayer, all perseverance arising out of our watchfulness, and all the saints. And we said that in a sense you can break that sentence down into 2. Paul is saying be prayerful and be watchful. The 2 go together. And they very much go together in the 3rd all that we're looking at this morning. If we're going to pray with all perseverance, then we need to be on our toes. We need not to be drowsy or at ease with life. We need to be sharp and focused, chasing sleep away. And so verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Number one is, I think it's Bill Bygraves when he preaches up there in Liverpool, who from time to time claps his hands or thumps the pulpit just to keep people alert, you see, part of being watchful. Perhaps we ought to do that more often here. So you have a heart attack when I've done that in the past. But we do need to be alert. Now we recognise that, don't we, in all manner of our lives. We recognise it in driving. We recognise it in work. The driver in the Selby train disaster, that was his downfall. Sleep got the better of him. Physical sleep got the better of him, with a consequent disaster. And there's lots of other examples. In October 2004, a 34-year-old mother of three, Annette Sykes, was run over and killed as she walked home. And she was killed by a driver who'd fallen asleep at the wheel. 34, the mother of three, he was woken by the impact as his car hit her, and he braked further on up the road. There was no sign of brake where he hit the woman, because he didn't know he was about to hit the woman, because he was asleep. He then drove off again, but he was found. I don't think it was an excuse, but he pointed to the fact that he'd just completed his third 15-hour shift as a long-distance lorry driver. What if you have three fairly close together 15-hour shifts as a long-distance lorry driver? You're in danger of falling asleep at the wheel. And that's what happened to that man. I don't know whether you've ever fallen asleep at the wheel. It's nothing to be proud of, but I well remember being woken up as I was about to hit the central reservation on the A10, I think it was, going to Cambridge. In the goodness of God, I thank him that I was woken up because I could hear the grating of all the cobbles underneath the car as I was mounting the central reservation. So I didn't hit it, didn't cause any problems at all, but pulled over and stopped. Been celebrating somebody's 40th birthday the night before. Shouldn't have been driving. Very easy through lack of sleep then to be losing our alertness and falling asleep ourselves at the wheel. We know the need to be alert. In an extreme, it leads to death. Otherwise, it leads to drowsiness. Our reaction times slow down. We're unaware of what's around us. If someone had said to that second driver just mentioned, "Oh, can't you see Annex Sykes just in front of you?" He would have said, Not aware of the truth that is there to be seen, but we're oblivious to it because we've lost our alertness and we're asleep. Now, the Bible says that for the believer, that's a real spiritual danger. Not of falling asleep physically, although that's known to happen even in here on a Sunday. But the Bible commands spiritual watchfulness and warns against spiritual sleepiness. Now, what does spiritual sleepiness look like? Well, just like physical sleepiness, it can creep up on us and overcome us. So that life is going on all the way around us, but we're not engaging with it. It's as though we are asleep. Those who have been to college, you will know that in those late nights, which students still have, it's quite amusing what people sometimes do to students who've fallen asleep. If you had a bearded student in your hall of residence and you were able to shave them while they were asleep, you did. You were able to paint funny things on their faces, you did. Did all sorts of things to them. They were utterly oblivious until they came to look at themselves in the mirror the next morning. They'd been asleep. I wonder what happens to us when we're spiritually asleep. The things that are around us to be seen are not in focus. We don't make the good judgments or discernment that we ought to. We've lost our perspective because we've lost our consciousness. Ever say to somebody in your house, "Are you falling asleep?" And you get that sort of silly smile as though they're on sleeping gas. You know, You know? They're sort of with you, but they're sort of not. You can just about get away with anything to them because they've actually nodded off. And it means that they are indifferent to what matters and what may be dangerous. And it's the same spiritually. So easy for us to be lulled at ease in a bit of a drift and to be overcome by spiritual sleepiness. I wonder if we would ever consider that we are prone to spiritually nod off. Is that something you've ever considered about yourself? I'm actually prone, not just physically, but spiritually, to nod off. Let's look together at four examples in the scriptures. If you've got your Bible, please turn with me to Proverbs and chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. In the church Bible, it's on page 623. It's in a section which is sometimes listed the seven deadly sins. And I want to just read out verses 6 to 11 of Proverbs 6. I remember once going on holiday, going to a church, looking forward to a nice, peaceful, spiritual week, and the service began with these words: "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a robber, and your need like an armed man. And basically the warning there is that we can be like the sluggard. By nature we can be rather slow moving, idle, inactive, lazy, prone to slumber. And of course that goes for us physically, and as Christians it goes for us spiritually too. That was quite an awakening to me on the first Sunday of my holiday one year, being addressed from the pulpit in the first minute as a sluggard. But hopefully it did its work during that week. Slow moving, idle, inactive, lazy, unlike the ant. Secondly, turn to Matthew in chapter 26, please. Matthew 26. This is Jesus in the garden at Gethsemane. Now, clearly here it's physical sleep that's being spoken of. But notice the lesson that we can learn from it again. Jesus is in the garden at Gethsemane. In verse 36, he tells his disciples to stay while he goes and prays. In verse 40, he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. At that great moment of need, that moment of crisis, that peak, he comes back to the disciples and says, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There at that moment they're overcome by physical sleep. There's a warning to us about being overcome not only by physical sleep when we're tired, but by spiritual sleep too. Next turn with me to Revelation, please, the last book of the Bible, and chapter 3. To the church there at Sardis. It's described by some as the dead church. We're turning to Sardis this morning because they are told in verse 2 to be watchful. To be watchful. They were a sleepy church. Sardis was once the capital of Lydia. It was a wealthy place, a magnificent place. It was a glorious city, so we read. But it was situated on a nearly inaccessible hill. It was so high up that they thought they were safe from anybody ever being able to attack it. But it was attacked twice at night at an unobserved, unguarded weak point, and it was captured. And the people of Sardis were shocked. They didn't think they could be captured. They thought they were impregnable. Because they were careless and they were complacent. They weren't like the church at Laodicea, which was boastful in its pride. But the sleepy self-satisfaction at Sardis led to the people being careless and indifferent. They drifted off to sleep and to spiritual death, we're warned here in Revelation 3. It's as though they were inoculated against the battle. They thought nobody could touch them. They were so high up. And that's why they were told in verse 2 to be watchful, and in verse 3, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And there in that letter to that church, it was wakey-wakey time. Be disturbed from your lethargy. Be disturbed from your complacency. Wake up and be watchful. So does the sluggard there in Proverbs, there's the disciples falling asleep when Jesus is in the garden, there's the sleepy dead church. And lastly, I'd like you to turn back to Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. We looked at this verse some months ago. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." On that occasion, we saw that here what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Ephesians is he's giving them an unpleasant awakening experience. There's three things they're not doing. They are believers, but they're not embracing in faith the new dimension of their changed lives. They're not really living in the light of all that is now true of them. Neither are they in faith renouncing all that was part of their old lives. They're a rather half-hearted bunch. That's what he's dealing with here in chapter 5 and verse 14. They are living spiritually sleepy, drowsy lives that are no different to the lives of those around them who are spiritually dead rather than asleep. And so Paul has to say to them, walk! Have no fellowship with this old life. Awake and arise! They're in danger of being sleepy spiritually too. It was a charge here to the Christian who is in danger of losing their saltiness, their effectiveness, their difference in the world. Paul is effectively saying, arise, sleeping one, and stand up out of the dead ones, and Christ will shine on you. It's not a conversion call. It's not a call for them to become Christians. They are Christians. But what Paul is saying is, you're no different from the spiritual corpses around you. So awake! We're looking this morning at Paul's instructions on prayer. It's part of our spiritual armour that we put on our six pieces with prayer. But to pray with perseverance, we need to be awake. It's so easy for us to fall asleep, to be drowsy spiritually. We're to be awake and alert. We're warned against sleeping spiritually. And here we see in the sluggard, in the disciples, in the church at Sardis, and here even at Ephesus, the ease with which we are prone to spiritually drop off and not be aware of what's around us. And of course, the most frightening thing of that here is that this is said in the context of a battle. Paul is saying, be watchful, to pray with all perseverance in a battle. I mean, it's foolish and negligent to fall asleep at the wheel or at work or in a lesson at school. But imagine what happens when a soldier falls asleep when he's on duty. Imagine being in a war situation and you fall asleep. You're no longer alert. In August 2004, two Dutch soldiers fell asleep while on night shift in Iraq. They were sentenced by a Dutch military court to 2 weeks of a suspended military detention and a working punishment of 60 hours. They fell asleep due to the overwhelming heat in the region. We might have great sympathy for them, but they needed to fight it because they were soldiers. And we need to fight to stay awake in the battle. There's that lovely example, isn't it, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 26, when David and Saul are at one another's throats. And David actually is able to creep into Saul's camp at night, isn't he, when Saul and his commanding officer are asleep. And rather than put a sword through him, which David won't do because he won't touch the Lord's anointing, he pinches the water jug and the spear. He's allowed to go right into the camp, take it out, and he cries from the hill off, look what I've got, I've been right in there, look what I could have done to you. You lot were asleep. Well, fancy being asleep on duty. Fancy being part of Saul's team that allowed David to get right in and take the water jug and the spear. But we can do the same. Brother and sister, this morning, we need to be alert. The Bible says we need to be alert against temptation. We need to be alert against the devil. We need to be alert for the second coming. But here we're told we need to be alert in order that we pray. I wonder what you do to keep yourself awake physically. Do you slap your face sometimes? Smelling salts? Coffee? What do you do? Go for a walk? What do you do to keep yourself alert physically? What do you do to keep yourself alert spiritually? Because we're in a battle. We're to put on the armour with prayer. That requires persevering prayer, and persevering prayer requires that we are alert. This morning we're looking primarily at the need for us to be awake, to be alert, to be watchful. Are you aware how prone you are spiritually to spiritual drowsiness? To that main theme, I just want to add this. Firstly, it's being watchful to this end with all perseverance. That's the link. Be watchful in order that you pray. Paul says exactly the same thing, really, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or being watchful in it. Watchfulness and prayerfulness go together. We're soldiers. We need to be on our guard. We need to keep our wits about us. We're apt to being sluggish. We have a responsibility to keep fit and take every opportunity. Some of us work in the security business. Some of us do night shifts. We know the worst thing to happen on night shift is if we fall asleep when we're on duty. Yet how many of us are prone to falling asleep on duty as soldiers for Christ? We're on duty for the long haul. We're on duty for the marathon. We need to be alert. Because it is a marathon. We are to persevere. It's not about starting well in the Christian life. It's actually about finishing well. When you come to look at the parable of the sower and the seed, speaking of God's word, goes into four soils, four hearts. There's only one heart where we see everlasting fruit. And that's where those accepted the word of God and with perseverance continued. It's finishing well that matters. It's finishing strong that matters. It's perseverance that matters. It's he who stands firm to the end that will be saved. And I wanted this morning, just as we draw to a close, to look at those pictures that we find in the Bible of persevering prayer and for us to notice alertness. When you've heard a sermon, a message on persevering prayer, where's it been from? Well, sometimes it's from Bartimaeus, isn't it? Bartimaeus was a blind man. Jesus comes down his street. He knows his need. He knows that Jesus is there. He knows what Jesus can do. He's alert to those three things. So he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me, he says. Be kind to me, Jesus. And they all tell him to shut up. And he doesn't shut up, he cries, the Bible tells us, all the more. He perseveres. And that's one of the places we go to speak of persevering prayer. Why did he persevere? Number one, because he was alert. What was Bartimaeus alert to? One, his need, he was blind. Two, that Jesus was coming down the street. And that three, Jesus could do something for him. So being alert to his need and to the source, he cried out, he was awake. He was watchful and prayerful. What about the widow who comes to the unjust judge and bothers him? And he's not interested in giving her justice, but in the end she goes on and on and on so much and bothers him that she receives justice even from the unjust judge. So she's an example to us of persevering prayer. She goes on. Why does she go on? Because she's alert. She hasn't got justice and it matters to her. It bothers her. She sees the need. She knows that the judge will eventually, or can eventually, listen and hear. So she cries on. She's watchful and prayerful. What about the Canaanite woman whose daughter's suffering from demon possession? She cries out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's the disciples who seemingly say, oh, go away. You can't be bothered with you. But does she go away? No, she carries on, perseveringly. Why? Because it matters to her. She's alert to the situation. It matters to her that her daughter's in the state that she's in. She knows what Jesus can do, so she perseveres. And I would argue that whenever you go to a situation of persevering prayer in the Bible, we look at people who carried on despite all the obstacles and hindrances. Why did they carry on? Number one, they were alert. They saw the real need. They felt the real need, the real lack. And they believed that God could do something about it. And so they prayed on. And that, I think, is interesting, because at the end of the story about the persevering widow, the question is asked, will the Son of Man find faith when he comes back at the end of time? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will he find faith? And the question really means, will he find faith being exercised in persevering prayer? Well, he will find people exercising faith in persevering prayer if they're a watchful and a prayerful people. If they're alert to the situation. If they haven't nodded off. If they know the situation, know the source of supply, and apply to it. And that, I think, is why Paul says here, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Because supplication is to ask. Supplication is to request. Supplication is where you see a lack, where you see a source and you have a desire, and the three come together, you're alert. You have the desire, you see the need, you see the source. So you ask. You request. You go on. We said last time that supplication was a key measure of our Christianity, because it acknowledges our dependence upon God. Do we take things for granted, or do we ask for them? And here, the Ephesian believers and us here today are being encouraged to be alert that we'd see the need, have a desire, see the source, and as a result, pray. Those three things are brought together in someone who's alert. You see the lack, so you request. Not only do you see it, but you feel it, you have a desire, so you request. And because you see the source of the supply, you request it of Him. And if we've fallen asleep to the lack, if we've fallen asleep to the desire, if we've fallen asleep to the greatness of who He is, then we won't ask. And if you're in that position this morning where you don't ask, then may God wake you up. May God wake you up out of your rut that you're in. Rut goes deep enough, it's a trench. Only one difference between a trench and a coffin, a coffin's got a lid on it and it's a bit smaller. Very easy for us to be in such a trench, such a rut. We're asleep. We don't see any need. We're just going on as though we're snoring our way through the Christian life. No need, no desire, no appealing to the source, because we've lost our sense of dependency upon Him. So in closing this morning, what are we to do that we would be alert? Just three things. One is taken from driving the car. I thought that might be simple this morning. One from driving the car. You know, people fall asleep at the wheel, particularly at certain times during the day. There are rhythms and seasons that we should be aware of, and so it is spiritually. Are there times and seasons in your life that you're able to recognise as a time when you are particularly prone to spiritual drowsiness? That was David's problem, wasn't it, in the Old Testament, when he committed adultery and eventually killed Uriah, or had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, murdered. It was a time when kings go to war. David wasn't battling. He should have gone to war, but he didn't go to war. That was a time and a season when he should have recognised, but we don't either, our vulnerability to just not being awake spiritually. Are there times and seasons in your life? Again, to do with driving, we're told that there are particular stress factors. A symptom of stress is sleep, and pressures can become so great that you become drowsy and nod off. Are there times in our lives where the priorities are so askew, the pressures on us are so great, that we're in danger of becoming spiritually drowsy? And we need to put our priorities back in line with God's word, because we notice the stress factors building up, and what's being lost is our spiritual awakeness. With driving, they mentioned a problem of a medication. Another major factor in people falling asleep at the wheel is that they are intoxicated, sometimes with medication. Are we so drugged by something? Our love of this world, our complacency as Christians, that we're in danger of nodding off. Times and seasons, the build-up of stress factors, so drugged that we've lost our sharpness, We simply need to look again at our lives in terms of planning and eating and sleeping and physical exercise, because when we look at ourselves, we're not what once we were. And in the goodness of God, he's telling us this morning to wake up and to be watchful. Secondly, the church at Sardis had a reputation for being alive that was dead. They were told five things, I'll just mention this morning. One, they were effectively told to give time to the word of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ had in his hand both a messenger and the Holy Spirit. And they were told to give attention to the word of God. Now, we can read that complacently, but if we read it prayerfully, there's nothing so attuned to keep us awake as we're constantly reading the word of God. They were told to, one, give time to the word of God. Two, they were simply told, wake up. Wake up. Thirdly, they were told to look to what they got to remember, to spend time remembering how things had been in better days, remembering the goodness of God, remembering their own walk as a way of awakening them to their true situation today, that they might hunger and thirst again to move on. Respond to the word, wake up and remember. Fourthly, hold fast to what you have. Guard it. Look at the preciousness of all that you have, and don't let that slip as well. Put it into custody and guard it. And lastly, repent. Turn from your sin as Christians and wake up. 3.5 million people in our country suffer from excessive sleepiness. Some die because they never recognise and face their sleeping disorder. The sleep centre in Loughborough would say this area needs to be taken much more seriously than it is. This sleep disorder is costly in many ways, in our relationships with one another. But isn't there a spiritual lesson for us from that as well? Prone to suffer from excessive sleepiness needs to be recognised and faced. Lessons from the wheel, lessons from Sardis. Lastly, just an appeal to each of our hearts here this morning. How do you keep yourself alert as a Christian? Do you look after yourself? Peter says we're to be self-controlled and sober. Have that pattern and plan of life which keeps us. It's hard, it's against the flood, as we heard earlier on. But we need to be watchful with all perseverance to pray. But can I encourage you to take a look at your life as I need to take a look at mine? Are we in danger of just sleeping ourselves into oblivion? Of not seeing the truths that stare us in the face around us, but we don't see them when our eyes are shut and we've nodded off to sleep? Brother and sister, why don't you come on your knees before the Lord and repent of what you need to repent of, and to come and to take this matter of watchfulness and alertness very seriously indeed, because we need to be a people who pray with all perseverance, and to do that we need to be a watchful and an alert people. Be vigilant, be sober, be self-controlled.